Okay, if everybody's ready, I'd like to call the March 15th, 2022 Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. It's 4 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join us this evening. Ms. Tanner, may I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here.
Chair Silverson?
Here. Thank you. Now I'd like to lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance, if everybody can rise. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us. And Ms. Tanner, I've got the information to read about the public call to audience, but I don't see that anybody is in the audience. Is anybody online?
No speakers, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then I believe I can skip the instructions. Well, that'll save us 30 seconds or so. Okay, next on the agenda is the staff liaison report. So, Mr. Gebhardt, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the commission. Not a whole lot to report for you this afternoon, just a couple items I'll highlight. At the next BFC meeting on Tuesday, April 19th, we do plan on presenting the town manager's recommended budget for your review and comment. So I just wanted to kind of highlight that as kind of a future agenda item. And then, as you're all aware, we do still have one opening on the commission. We did receive an application this afternoon. So hopefully, and it looks like a strong application, hopefully we will get interviews set up to proceed with reviewing that applicant and seeing whether they're a good fit for the commission. With that, that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gebhardt. Daniel, would you please review, read in the next item.
Agenda item one, review and approval of the February 15th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, are there any questions from commission members?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Beasley made the motion, and Commissioner Mason seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes. Danielle, item two, please.
Agenda item two, discussion and possible recommendation on draft PSPRS pension funding policy for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or discussion from commission members for that? Okay, go ahead.
I have a couple of comments and suggestions. On the third line where we say maintain compliance with new statutory requirements, I don't think they're new anymore. So why don't we just say compliance with statutory requirements? I got a thumbs up on that. Okay. Further down, we see this paragraph on funded ratio. I'd like to recommend a modification to this and say, on the second sentence, the higher the ratio, the better funded the pension is, with 100% being funded based on current actuarial valuations, because those valuations are going to change based on various assumptions that they're going to make over time.
Sorry, just a quick question or a clarification there. if I may, Madam Chair and Commissioner Beasley, are you requesting that information? So there's the section of kind of the table of the funding ratios, which shows the assets, the accrued liability, the unfunded actuarial accrued liability, and the funded ratio. So are you requesting that clarification in the paragraph directly above that, right after it says Oro Valley Town Council formally accepts assets and liabilities, or is there another, am I misunderstanding the, or you're looking in the definitions?
I'm looking in the definitions.
Got it. Okay, sorry, I just wanted that clarification. Okay, so you're looking in the definition. So if you can repeat that, I just want to make sure I was tracking.
And again, the reason that I think that should go in there is that assumptions are going to change over time. Things like interest rates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what I think should be tacked on to the end of that second sentence where it says, better funded the pension is with 100% being fully funded based on current actuarial valuations. Might be a net, but.
Makes sense.
I'm not done yet, Kevin. On page 2, we show the current liabilities, assets, et cetera, in the chart. I think what we need to do, because of when funding was done, is make a note, asterisk, however you want to do it, and simply say something along the line of, the town of Oro Valley funded the pension plan with X numbers of dollars, just whatever the actual dollars were, the reserves that were used, plus the other. After the actuarial report was prepared, because we're referring here to a June 30 statement, at this time it is expected that the plan is 100% funded. So that's just a clarifier, because we're dealing with something at this point that's 6-8 months ago. I've got one more. The bullet from the bottom on page 2 starts out at such time the ARC is projected to be reduced. Paying the ARC at the higher rate to maintain the funding ratio goal of 100%, period, not based on funding availability. So I would eliminate the based on funding availability. And then further that goes on to say, this is due to historically poor investment performance in the plan and should assist in mitigating that risk should the underperformance continue.
Thank you. I had something that may be a little checked onto that, just a comment about, we talk about the funding ratio. If we're up to 110%, we have an action. And if we're, in this document, it says below 100%. So my thought is, given the volatility in investment returns, that maybe we want a band. You know, maybe you're between 90% and 110%, where you don't necessarily need to have an action. Because you're going to go up and down, you're never going to be at 100%, right? So maybe, what are we comfortable with, right? We don't want to go to 50, obviously, you know, but if we kind of micromanage it, it just might be kind of ridiculous to try to manage.
So does the commission have a recommendation on what that band is?
My thoughts on this was,
I mean, we're going to know when we get the valuation report what the funding ratio is. And to me, I think because we've put so much money into it now that we don't want to see it go below 100. So as soon as the expectation is that we're going below 100%, we're going to, I would assume, pay what that unfunded portion is. We will pay that off immediately so that we stay at the 100%. What I was thinking in this particular paragraph, too, was I thought maybe 110% may be too high. I mean, at this point, we're putting money into the pot that we're already fully funded, and is there other priorities that we want to use the money on instead of keep putting money into the pension fund? I was thinking more maybe along the lines of 105%. I went back and I looked at how much the funding ratio has changed over the several years that we had. And looking at the chart in the back, you know, we had one situation, I think, back in 2015 where it went down. Everything else, it was just kind of going up little percentages at a time. So I think if we're at a place where we think we're about 100 to 102%, you know, maybe depending on the situation, we might want to put some money into it. If it gets to be closer to 105, maybe we wait until the next year to look at it. And then I also thought if you wanted to do this, if, you know, I think the amount that we normally pay at the higher rate was around $2.5 million, I think. Do we want to put that away in an assigned fund balance just to be there in case, you know, we want to use it. So this year we may not use it. Maybe we just kind of save it next year if we have to use some of it. I mean, certainly that's not required because it's all in fund balance anyway. But if we wanted to do something like that, you know, then maybe that's an option too.
Yeah, if I may, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I understand the comments and the direction there. I think the challenge is, and I'm not going to say anything that none of you don't already know, but I think the challenge is that the actuarial report is literally a year behind, you know, reality. So when that actuarial report comes out, so we just, and you see the actuarial reports that have been attached to the agenda item, so... So those are available to you. Those are for fiscal year 2021, but they're really based upon 2020 data. So we're going to have another report that comes out for fiscal year ending 2022 that still won't reflect the additional contributions that the town made in July of 2022. So we're always going to be a little bit behind. I think, you know, the 110%, that higher level really does provide some protection to the town in case we do have a down market and the investment returns aren't there and we start to see those, start to see the funding level deteriorate. With respect to the you know, keeping it at 100%, again, a kind of the same, along the same line, same issue, just looking at it from a little bit different perspective. Trying to keep it at 100% is challenging, just from the standpoint that you could drop below 100%. And I think we would have seen this had we been fully funded this last year. You could drop below 100% in one particular year due to investment returns not being adequate, and then you could have a historical year the following year that would push you up above 100%, which we, you know, if we had another year, again, it's a historical year that we had for fiscal year 2021, but so I don't really anticipate that to happen again, but if it did happen again, then we would have essentially tried to fix a problem that really in reality did not exist. So I think that the banding does kind of make sense. Just from the standpoint that this is going to be something that's kind of a moving target, so to speak. So I do kind of agree with that. I think the target obviously is always 100%. understanding that we're never going to be directly on 100% because the contributions, the investment returns, and all the various factors with the actuarials and how they're calculated based upon mortality rates and tables and things of that nature, there's always going to be some kind of fluctuation going on there. So those are my comments. Again, I'm not trying to really steer you one way or the other, just trying to, you know, hopefully get some consensus on the issue. Thank you.
I think you're right, Dave. I think the important thing is to create the target of 100%. And we're definitely going to have some fluctuations up and down beyond that. And in fact, I'm not certain that I'm particularly comfortable with a band. I think as long as we acknowledge that what we really want to do is keep this plan 100% funded, then let's create some flexibility for ourselves as to what we need to do.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Commissioner Beasley, Madam Chair, if I may again. So, you know, I think to that end, one of the reasons why we have, based upon funding availability, one of the reasons why we have that in there is to provide a little flexibility. I get it, it's a little bit different, again, kind of a different angle or twist to it. Provide a little bit of flexibility from the town standpoint that if we don't have funding availability, if our budget really is in a position, we're in a recession climate or whatever else is going on, we don't really know, it's hard to predict the future, but if the funding availability doesn't exist to keep funding the plan at that level, that we're going to make our best attempt to fund it as high as we possibly can, but that's going to be a council decision based upon when the budget is presented. They will be presented those options and can weigh in and before the budget is finalized and adopted. So it does provide that flexibility for town council to make that determination and judgment. And certainly all, even before the budget comes to town, we have to obviously go through this process again, update the pension funding policy because that needs to be done annually and so forth. So just a comment there, again, not trying to say that it's a horrible idea to remove based upon funding availability, but just kind of looking for consensus on that issue. Is that do you all agree that language ought to be eliminated or not?
I think if money's not available, obviously you're not going to do it. So I think availability is always, are you going to say based on the approved budget or along those lines?
And is it realistic to have some kind of a separate little account where you have a reserve there? Is that something that can be done or makes sense?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, that absolutely can be done. We can restrict off. Again, that would be council decision and direction to staff. But we can absolutely restrict off additional funds specific to PSPRS and kind of set off a little special reserve. There's different ways to do that, but my recommendation is always probably to take the simple approach and just keep that in the general fund, not actually set it off in kind of a separate fund or a section, I think it's a 115 trust account or something of that nature, but to have a little bit of flexibility there. Realistically, as you go through, going through the process many times before, as you go, and you're all aware, you go through the budget process, there's always more needs than there is funding. And so really then it becomes a prioritization as to what takes priority. Is it we can set off a reserve, but then that's going to take the place over other needs that potentially could be funded that now won't be funded. So, again, those are council decisions based upon and direction that they'll have to provide to town staff when we go through the budget process.
My thoughts on the fund balance thing would be like an assigned balance in the general fund that's totally controlled by manager and council. Is it this? Let me ask this: once we get an actuary evaluation and it shows that there is an unfunded amount, is it the assumption correct that we'd want to pay that amount in our next payment, or would we wait to see if other information became available?
Commissioner Mason, or Vice Chair, I should say, Mason, Madam Chair, members of the commission, I agree with that. I think the assumption that target certainly is to pay that off immediately. If we have funding availability again, I mean, I think that clearly is a priority of our current council, and hopefully will be a priority of future councils. Certainly, again, they'll always have the opportunity to weigh in on that discussion. But it is something that that it is a lagging type of metric that, you know, that funding, whether we're overfunded or underfunded or whatever, it's always calculated a year behind reality. So I think it really is going to depend on where we see markets and things and trying to do our best guess as to whether we think we're going to catch up naturally or whether there needs to be some sort of additional infusion or contribution made to catch us up, above and beyond our investment returns in the plan.
What are you kind of comfortable with as far as the way the policy is now?
Vice Chair Mason, Madam Chair, members of the commission, I'm fine with the policy as it the draft as it was presented. I'm also fine with Commissioner Beasley's changes, with the potential exception of eliminating the language based on funding availability. I think the other two are the other two recommendations certainly make a whole lot of sense. So I'm not sure if there are any other changes that the commission deems necessary. But I thought, you know, I presented it because I thought that the policy generally was in pretty solid shape. I only, you know, really eliminated two or three bullets that really were specific to last fiscal year. Took that kind of that same policy. I thought it was a strong policy. Eliminated the bullets that talked about we're going to make an additional $10 million reserve payment. We're going to issue pension obligation bonds. You know, those types of specific bullets that were in the current policy. I am fully on board with the first couple comments with Commissioner Beasley. Those make a lot of sense. The last one kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but that's just me as the finance director.
The purpose of some of my comments are related to we struggled for the last several years given an unfunded situation. And I think we've taken a dramatic and necessary step to fund it correctly. So I don't think anybody here wants to get back into any type of a significant unfunded situation. So whatever we have to do to maintain as close to that 100% funding ratio, I think is very important. So, and I think future councils with people who aren't even here, I think need to understand what the importance of this particular issue is. That's the primary reason for my additional comments on the funding availability.
I understand. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think we all agree that there's been a lot of hard work put into getting to the position that we are currently in, and we're all very happy and proud that we've made this move, and to let it slip away would not be a good thing. With that said, you're never going to be exactly at 100%, so what's the best way to put something in place where you can manage it realistically without going too far one way or the other. Would you say that kind of sums up our thoughts?
Dave, what's the schedule for having this final policy and then going to the council with it?
Yeah, Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission, we are really pretty early this year. We don't, you know, I think we're in really good shape. It's March 15th. We've got probably at least three more Budget and Finance Commission meetings through the end of this fiscal year, April, May, and June. So we've got some time that we can deal with it again, finalize it at the next BFC meeting. In terms of when it would go to council, it really just needs to be approved and adopted by council prior to year end. So again, we've got some time here. There's not really any hurry or rush that this absolutely needs to be finalized at this meeting. It can be tabled, certainly, you know, and direction provided to staff to make, again, revisions, you know, recommended by the commission, brought forth at the next meeting, can be approved at the next meeting, and still have plenty of time to be finalized, be loaded into our budget process if there are any adjustments necessary there, you know, and be finalized by June 30th.
So our recommendation is that you bring it back to us, this policy, next meeting with the modifications.
Just a clarifying note here. Would one of those modifications be a kind of a baseline of 90% funded, kind of that banding, because I don't believe that currently exists, or do we just want to keep the target at 100%?
We can keep the target at 100%, I think. And is the thought with this going forward then, status quo year after year? That would be the recommendation. If you were going to recommend today, this is the way we're going to do it going forward, or we would recommend.
Yeah, again, I think the policy, once it, you know, I'll make those couple adjustments from Commissioner Beasley, I think assuming that the, you know, you'll get another opportunity to weigh in at the next meeting, assuming that it's in good shape, there are no other revisions necessary. I think we have a really strong foundation moving forward. I'm not sure that there's going to be necessarily any significant adjustments, just some minor tweaks and updates, you know, really similar to this meeting.
Just one more clarification. On the page 3 where we talk about by fiscal year and we say we're, the town will make an FY21 2.9 million and FY22 3.5. Is that normal cost plus the unfunded?
Yeah. So, Vice Chair Mason, Madam Chair, I believe you're referencing, when you look at that, you're referencing the policy for this current fiscal year, not the proposed draft policy for next fiscal year. The draft policy for next fiscal year. Hopefully it was the right one that was attached. It says for fiscal year 22, the town will make approximately $3.5 million in payments based upon a 43.57% contribution rate. Same bullet for fiscal year 23. And then in fiscal year 24 and subsequent years, the town will continue maintaining 100% funding ratio. If the funding ratio grows to over 110%, the town manager through the budget process may recommend applying funding to other town priorities. If the funding ratio falls below 100%, future additional payments will be made to restore the funding ratio back to 100%. So I think that's the language. Let me take a step back because there is a small change. So the bullet number 2, it's not 43.57, it's 43.47, because that was recommended in the actuarial report that's attached to the agenda item. So I just wanted to highlight that. Again, just a very insignificant change, but I didn't want to leave that one alone. I think that would include normal cost plus the amortization of the unfunded liability. That's what the actuarial rate is based upon. And that's, you know, basically what we're saying is we're going to continue amortizing that thing until we know that this thing is well overfunded in excess of 110% funding ratio.
Okay, so you can, and you can delete the first bullet in FY21 because that's, we're past that, right? Or do you want to put that in for historical purposes?
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, there is no bullet for FY21 because that year is passed, and that really applies to, again, the current year policy. So I updated the draft policy for to remove that bullet and add in fiscal year 24. I believe 22, 23, and 24 were already in the existing policy. I'd have to go back and check and compare that. But
okay, thank you. Item number three, please, Danielle.
Agenda item three, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through January 2022.
All right, give me just a minute here to get arranged. Is the PowerPoint going to pop up, Danielle, or? Bear with us. It only takes a few minutes. The technology situation in here seems different every meeting, so yeah. Okay, without further ado, Chair and Commission members, I'm pleased to be presenting our financial update through January. I'm pleased to report that things continue to look very positive in the funds. We actually have not made a whole lot of adjustments to our year-end estimates from December, but I think we can say with a lot of certainty that those numbers are going to continue to improve. We'll be scrubbing those further when we prepare the February financials, because those numbers are going to be actually feeding into our recommended budget document. So if anything, expect further improvement for the year-end estimates. All right, we'll jump in and start with the general fund on the revenue side. We've got just over $15 million in actuals through January. That's 71% of our budget now, and we are estimating about $23.9 million for the year end. Again, as I mentioned, positive trends that we've been seeing in the revenues. All of the local sales tax sources are doing very well. We had a quite conservative budget that we had set this fiscal year, so I'm pleased to report. Obviously, some of this is due to inflation, without a doubt, but pleased anyway that the trends are looking so positive. State shared revenues as well, we mentioned these last time. We are now collecting the new smart and safe funds through the state. So that's been factored into the year-end estimate. We're at just over 61% collected in that revenue source through January. Our charges for services look well at about $1.5 million, or just over 62% of the budget. As I had mentioned previously, recreation revenue is looking positive. We did have to adjust the farebox revenues based on the fee waiver that's currently ongoing through June. Licenses and permits, that is looking positive as well. $1.4 million, just under $1.4 million that we've collected through January. That equates to about 73% of the budget amount of $1.8 million. We are seeing higher than budgeted revenues on the commercial side, some activity that was not budgeted. Our SFRs continue to show some slow activity. We did actually see, I think, 34 permits issued in February, I happen to notice. But those are still trending under budget. Thankfully, the activity on the construction site is expected to more than offset the slow activity for residential. And then our grant revenue, we have 3.4 collected or recognized through January. That's about 57% of our budget amount. That's unchanged from last month. We had mentioned the ARPA funds and how much we'll be recognizing this fiscal year versus deferring. And then our all other categories, those are our intergovernmental revenues, our interest income, and then our miscellaneous revenues, unchanged year-end estimate from December as well. In total, we've collected about $30.8 million in revenues through January for the general fund. That's a bit over 65% compared to budget. And again, variance due to our outperforming sales tax collections and our state shared revenue. That's really what's driving that at this time. For the expenditures, nothing really new to report. Those are still trending as we would have expected. On the personnel side, we have $15.7 million in expenditures through January. That's just over 51% of the budget. Looking to end about on budget there, a little bit of vacancy savings that we've noted. The actuals to date are still a little below budget just due to how the payrolls hit. We're going to see three payrolls hit in April, and then we'll be seeing three in June as well. So until we get to that point, when you compare to budget, it looks a little low. O&M, $15.9 million spent through January. That's about 72.5% of the budget. As I've mentioned on previous slides, that the actuals do include the PSPRS payments. That's kind of what's bumping up those actuals at this point. Expecting to land about on budget in that category for the general fund. And then our capital, we spent about $275,000 compared to the budget of $1.1 million. That's about 25% of the budget. Right now, we have our estimate about on budget, but we do know of some rollover. The westward look improvements will likely be rolling over to next fiscal year. So when we bring back the February reports, that'll all wrap that in, and you'll see those revisions at that time. And then the transfers out, the actuals right now reflect one transfer to capital, to the capital fund, and then our debt service transfer. As we've mentioned previously, we did not have a principal payment this fiscal year for the pension obligation bonds, which was budgeted. So that is the variance that you'll see there. In total, expenditures through January are at $34.6 million, or 56.5% of the budget. We are expecting to come in quite a bit under, about 2%, and that's really due to that transfers out. Here's our chart for January. Things actually very flat with the revenues, $30.8 million compared to $30.3 million. But keep in mind, some of the grant revenues are probably making that look a little bit wonky with the CARES and the ARPA funds. And then on the expenditure side, obviously year-to-date for the current year has the $10 million PSPRS payment in it. In total, we did budget a planned use of fund balance of about $14.2 million. Our estimated deficit or use of fund balance is now 9.4, so better compared to what we had budgeted. We're expecting to land the fiscal year with a $23 million fund balance. That's about 42.7% of our budgeted expenditures. And it exceeds council's 25% policy by about $9.5 million. For the highway fund, also unchanged from last month, we had mentioned our highway user shared revenues that are looking really positive. So we bumped up that year-end estimate. You see about $3.9 million compared to a budget of $3.6 million. And then just a smidge over budget in the all other category for some insurance recoveries that we've collected. In total, expecting to come in about $3.9 million for a year-end estimate for revenues in the highway fund. We're currently at about 62.6% of budget collected. And on our expenditure side for the highway fund, personnel, you're going to see things trending in line with the general fund with the timing of payrolls. So we have about $642,000 spent in personnel through January. That's about 53% of the budget. We're expecting to land on budget at year-end. O&M, operations and maintenance, we've spent about $311,000, or 50% of our budget in that fund. We've noted some of our larger line items there for reference, and we'll do some further scrubbing of this as well when we bring back February, taking a look at reaching out more to departments and seeing if we can kind of really get some fine-tuned numbers and see if we are going to have some savings there. And then capital, we've spent $1.7 million through January. That's about 77% of our budget of $2.3 million. At this point, we've posted most of the planned CIP projects, and then nearly all of the payment preservation program expenditures have hit so far. So that is reflected in those numbers you see there. In total for the highway fund, we've spent about $2.7 million, or 66% of the budget through January. And we don't expect any variance at this time. But again, as I mentioned, we'll do some further scrubbing. The recommended budget may be reflecting some year-end estimate savings. Here's our chart for the highway fund. Things pretty vanilla there. $2.3 million in revenues collected compared to $2.1 million last fiscal year. On the expenditures, what's really driving those variances can be the timing of payrolls, but really primarily the capital projects and when those invoices happen to hit. You can see we planned to use fund balance in the highway fund of about $443,000. Due to the positive collections that we're seeing in HERF revenues, we're now estimating that we're only going to use about $183,000. That would bring us to an ending fund balance in the highway fund of about $1.1 million. And finally, the community center fund. Not a whole lot of changes from last month either. Things still looking very positive in this fund. Contracted operating revenues continue to come in strong. We've collected $2.4 million through January. That's about 66.8% of the budget. We are expecting to see a little bit of an overage there. That's due really to strong performance that they're seeing in member dues, as well as food and beverage is outperforming budget expectations there. The town operating revenues, we've talked about these previously. We were pretty conservative with those numbers just due to COVID, not really knowing what that's going to look like. But we are already at 91% of budget through January. And so we're expecting a considerable overage there. You see $963,000 versus a budget of $697,000. That's our member dues, which are looking really positive. I think we may be up to pre-COVID levels now with the fitness members. We can check with our Parks and Recreation Director, but I think she had mentioned something in that regards the other day. And then the recreation program revenue is looking great as well. The camps that they hold there, the children's camps and that sort of thing, very strongly attended. And then the other revenues, that's where our half-cent sales tax lives. our contributions from HOAs per contract, our interest income, and then some other miscellaneous revenues. Really what's driving that overage that you see there, $3.5 million compared to the budget of about $3.1 million, is the half-cent sales tax, really. In total, through January, we spent about, we've collected about $5.1 million in revenues. That's about 68.8% of our budget. We are expecting to come in about $8.4 million in total revenues in the fund. That's about 13% over budget, or almost $1 million over budget at this point. Again, strong sales tax collections, the fitness side, the town operating revenue side, and the golf revenue, so positive all around. The expenditures, contracted operating expenditures, are at just over $2.6 million through January. That's about 55.5% of the budget. So looking positive there. We are expecting some savings there, primarily in O&M, utilities-related, but also some personnel costs that they've factored in as well. Town operating revenue or town operating expenditures, we are expecting those to come in on budget at year end. We're at about 55% spent, or $596,000. And then the capital, we've spent just over $50,000 in the fund compared to the budget of $132,500. And those also are expected to come in on budget at year end. And then our transfers out reflect transfers for debt service. As we've mentioned previously, we have an interest-only payment due on the Parks and Rec bonds this year, so that large variance is due to that savings and not having to transfer the principal portion this year. In total, in the Community Center Fund, we've spent just over $3.4 million in expenditures compared to the budget of $7.8 million through January. That's about 44% of the budget, and we are expecting savings there, primarily the transfers out, not having to make that principal payment. As well as the savings on the contracted side of the house. Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund through January. You can see revenues strong compared to last fiscal year, $5.1 million compared to $3.9 million, and expenditures about flat, just up a bit, $3.4 million compared to $3.1 million last fiscal year. We did plan to use some fund balance in this fund of about $400,000. Now, because of that large variance in the transfers out, we're expecting a surplus in the fund of about $2.5 million, and that would bring us to an ending fund balance of about $5.2 million at year end. That wraps up our presentation, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Wendy. I guess inflation is our friend when it comes to sales tax revenue. But what is the impact, if you've done any studies, on the gas tax sharing revenue that we get?
Chair Silverson, Commissioner Beasley, that is an interesting question. So just going into budget next fiscal year, obviously on the expenditure side, we are going to need to see quite a bit of an increase for our gasoline outlay. That could also have an impact. You know, if people decide to drive less, the tax is a flat tax, so it's not based on the price, it's based on gallons. If people decide to, you know, cut back on driving around town or unnecessary trips, then yes, we could see an impact in our gas tax revenues potentially. But really I'd say more of the impact now is what we're seeing on the expenditure side, gas, in terms of being impacted by the prices.
Just a couple questions. What inflation rate are you going to use in the new budget?
Chair Silverson, Commissioner Mason, or Vice Chair Mason, I'm sorry. We don't quite have a set amount that we're using across the board. What we're seeing is sizable impacts to capital projects and estimates there. It's difficult, really, when it almost feels like a moving target sometimes. What we've usually used in the past has been 2% per, that's kind of their target rate. But this is a little bit of uncharted waters for us. So we are making sure that we're factoring plenty of contingency into those capital projects and even reassessing. I think it's safe to assume that there is potentially some price gouging going on there, and we're staying on top of that and just reassessing our projects and making sure that those are still in line with what we would be expecting at this point.
Is the parking lot project for the community center, is it about to start? Or I noticed there's a lot of activity out there.
Vice Chair Mason, I believe that is a budgeted project for next fiscal year, potentially. I'd have to check. I think it is going to be a project in next year's budget, though.
Then from our bed tax and the hotels that we have, do you get occupancy rates from the hotels at all, information?
Vice Chair Mason, it's not shared directly with the hotels, but occasionally we do get some information through our economic development division. We are privy to some stats there that are shared with us occasionally, but it's not anything regular that the hotels share with us.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy.
Okay, I just had one question that I think you probably already answered in your presentation about Parks and Rec. Are we at full schedule of activities? And I think you'd mentioned summer, the maybe the springtime camps are well attended. Are we expecting summer to be what it would have been a couple years back?
Chair Solverson, I think that's a safe assumption. I mean, I know they really outperformed what they saw this last summer, kind of not knowing how COVID would be. But those camps pre-COVID were very popular, and they still are. And I think it's safe to assume that we're probably at pre-COVID levels at this point.
Great, thank you.
How is the, the golf going out, the resort golf course? Is it going pretty well, or how's it going?
Vice Chair Mason, are you asking about PUSH? In terms of the operations, I mean, I don't know that I'm privy to a lot of those details. I think things are positive. I mean, if you're looking at golf in general and the financial operations and the financial performance of our contractor, I would say quite positive at this point. I don't know of any variance or issues, if that helps, but I think things are positive there.
Do they break out PUSH Ridge in information to you, or is it just
they
all
do? Okay. They do, yes. You're welcome.
Okay, next we have council liaison comments. So Mayor Winfield, please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair Solverson. I appreciate the opportunity to join you this afternoon, and I want to welcome Commissioner John Fortunato to the commission. Appreciate you joining this commission, and on behalf of the council, I want to express our appreciation for all of your service and listening to the discussion on the PSPRS policy discussion. Just reminds me of your leadership in that regard and helping put the town in the positive place that we are in. So thank you for that. I don't have anything specifically in regards to our upcoming council meeting is relatively light. But there were a few of your questions that maybe I can speak to. So some of the activity that you see at the community center in the parking lot is actually trailer and staging for the irrigation project. The parking lot project will come later, closer to probably 2024. So the irrigation is getting underway. They're bringing in the materials. They've got a work trailer that they've placed on site. And then I believe the tennis court project will also is going to be underway relatively soon. In regards to, I don't know the hotel occupancy rate, but Visit Tucson tracks that information. So I suspect if you go to their website that you can find that. But given the increase in our tax revenue as it relates to bed tax, they obviously occupancy rates are increasing because we're seeing a significant improvement in that regards. PUSH Ridge, the golf course, is doing extremely well. If you measure it by rounds of golf, they established a goal of 10,000 rounds. They'll exceed that before the course closes, I think, pretty significantly. I drove through the course this past Sunday. When I say drove through the course, on the roads, to want to clarify that. But I was pleased to at least from my observation, see folks on every hole of the course that I could see from, you know, a windshield survey. But they are doing very positive, and the friends have been extremely active. And you may or may not be aware, but they've held two disc golf events also that have been well attended and well received. So they're using the course for multiple purposes, which I think is very positive. So those are some items that I could share with you in regards to some of the questions that you raised earlier. But again, thank you for your service.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Winfield. Does anyone on the commission have any future agenda items?
I wonder, are we getting to the point that we can get some discussions on the Rancho Social Golf Course contract? And
certainly, we can provide an update. Staff can provide an update at a future meeting, the next meeting.
Anything else? All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Meeting is ended at 4:56.